From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
In Jamaica, a date is set for the Caribbean's first campaign political debate between a prime minister and opposition leader. A national debate of another kind is underway in Trinidad. It's over remarks made by a senior judge. And should health workers in the Caribbean be tested for AIDS? I'm Mike Jarvis, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. The stage is set for Jamaica's election campaign to feature political debates between the major parties. The first of the debates is set for next week. Gary Allen reports from Kingston.
The final agreement was reached by both political parties through their members on the National Political Debate Committee on Thursday evening. The agreement allows for one debate between the Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition, PJ Patterson and Edward Seaga, respectively. This is to be held next Tuesday, March 16. Another debate is also to be held 2 days later, on Thursday, March 18. This second debate will involve members of the two teams selected by the JLP and the PNP. The teams are to be named and announced. Prime Minister PJ Patterson says he is ready to go and is satisfied with the arrangements made. However, opposition leader Edward Seaga is disappointed that there will only be one debate between the leaders, claiming that two debates would allow for a wider range of issues to be discussed. Mr. Seaga says, nonetheless, he's ready to participate.
Gary Allen. Comments by a senior Trinidad and Tobago judge this week have stirred a philosophical debate in the country over democracy and the Constitution. In an address, Justice Lennox Dayal Singh questioned, among other things, the right to dissent and the functioning of the judiciary. On the issue of dissent, Justice Dayal Singh's comments coincided with recent protest action mounted by trade unions over a pay dispute with the government.
We have seen a recent spate of work stoppages, massive demonstrations, threats to bring the country to a standstill, etc. Can we really say that these events, singly or collectively, are in the public interest? A further consideration is whether a small third world country can have the privilege of this right to protest and to demonstrate, as is sometimes seen in the larger democracies. Is the infrastructure present to cope with it? Does the security service have the capacity, both material and psychological, to deal with it? Can the country afford the expenses involved? I am not suggesting that there must not be political dissent. That will be fatal to a democracy. But in the public interest, serious consideration must always be given as to what methods of dissent are appropriate to a particular country.
But Clive Weatherhead, the General Secretary of the Public Service Association of Trinidad and Tobago, questions the logic of Justice Dayal Singh's argument.
Immediate reaction was a bit flabbergasted by some of the things that he had said and suggested. He did suggest things about irresponsibility in the use of existing rights and pointed in the direction of trade unions and others. The trade unions are exercising their rights to dissent in the attempt to secure the very interests of their members. And it doesn't matter what the prevailing conditions are. We are saying that regardless of the size of the pie, some proportion of that pie must go to those who create the wealth in the society, and that is the workers. And in that context, the trade unions have been taking action. This action is not threatening to disrupt the entire society or anything of that sort.
The functioning of the judicial system in Trinidad and Tobago is also of concern to Justice Dayal Singh. He used the trial and subsequent acquittal of the Muslimin sect on the attempted coup as a point of reference.
I wish to make it clear that I am not making any statement whatsoever on the merits of this case or being critical of the actions of any of the parties or the courts involved. I have mentioned the matter merely to make the point that many people view what has occurred with serious concern and are left with the distinct feeling that something must be wrong in a system of criminal justice where the Constitution overrides the criminal law as it has done in this case. Whatever the final outcome, many argue that individual rights have not served the public interest, if only from the standpoint of delay and expense in a criminal matter of first magnitude.
That remark has drawn swift reaction from some members of the legal community in Trinidad and Tobago, among them one of the lawyers for the Muslimin, Ramesh Maharaj.
What has happened is maybe that the judicial arm of the state cannot cope, cannot administer the constitution, and it probably has something to do with the manner of appointment of judges, and whether when judges reach their retirement age, some judges are placed back on the bench and others are not. Justice Dyal Singh is very fortunate. He was given two extensions, and the question which arises, we must investigate to see whether some of the judges who have been put back once or twice, they have judgments outstanding for a very long time. As a matter of fact, instead of Justice Dyal Singh going to speak and make those speeches, there are many judgments which are outstanding which he should complete. But I do not think it is right for the Constitution.